Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39, we find an event that occurs. But to catch you up to that, we find that in chapter 1, we find a priest named Zacharias, and that's a great name, Zacharias. My son will tell you that. Zacharias, he was a priest, and he went in, and he was giving prayers, and as he gave his prayers, what he did is he saw an angel, and the angel told him, you're going to have a son. Now, you have to understand, Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth, were beyond the years of having children. In fact, she apparently could not have children throughout their entire marriage. But the angel says to Zacharias, you're going to have a child. And this was going to be a miracle child. This child was one that normally they just couldn't have. But God was going to intervene. He said, you're going to call this man John. You know him as John the Baptist. This is the cousin of the Mary that gave birth to Jesus. Here, at Christmas time, the Christmas story, and it gives us joy and rejoicing. At least it should. And as the Christmas story unfolds, do you know what we find throughout? Rejoicing. This morning, we're going to look at six different ways that God was given glory in the highest. As we read this morning, where the angel said, glory to God in the highest. Christmas time is a time for that. We find in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, that is where we find the story of Mary coming to where Elizabeth lives. And Mary went there, and as she went, an event happened, a jumping for joy at Christmas time. Isn't that what the kids do? They get so excited. I told the kids, I said, 6 o'clock is plenty early to be up. So I hear Dawn waking the kids up. No, she was getting the kids out of bed. They were already up, ready to go. And that's about time I got to stirring and stuff as well. So the kids were excited. They were jumping for joy. We find here in this story that Mary, she goes down to visit Elizabeth, who by now has been pregnant. And Mary now is pregnant as a result of God directly creating Jesus in her. Jesus the human, God himself, God the Son, would be that Jesus. So that's where Jesus was. Mary and Elizabeth had already been pregnant. And when Mary comes, we find in verse 38, Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, after talking with the angel in verse 39. Then Mary rose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You look at that, and we might all think, well, you know, that happens. Kids, I remember the kids being in Dawn, and the kid would just move, and you're just like, wow, it's just almost strange to realize there's somebody in there. And, the baby moves and whatnot that way, but the baby leaped. Now, I don't know what that might have looked like or felt like. I never will. But we know that it was strange enough that Elizabeth noticed it. Noticed that it was different than usual. In fact, we can slide on down there to verse 44. She says, Elizabeth says, for indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. When Jesus was present, Mary carrying him, there was rejoicing. That rejoicing was in God's presence. The fact that God himself, God the Son, had come to earth, and the presence, that little baby inside of Elizabeth, leaped for joy. I hope that that's true with you. Maybe not necessarily when you hear the name of Jesus. You're all jumping out of here. I thought about doing that, but then I thought the neighbors get scared. think we've done gone charismatic or something. You know, jumping for joy every time we hear Jesus' name. But our heart, at least inwardly, we should jump to realize, hey, they're talking about Jesus. Not just Jesus who is God, but Jesus my Savior and my Lord. Talk about rejoicing. That's something to rejoice about. Well, we find here God getting glory as this little baby jumps for joy. We'd go a little further down here. You see in verse 46, Mary's response. Mary's response to Elizabeth is something else. This is a song of victory. A song of victory. This song of victory, we like Christmas music. Most people's favorite music is Christmas. Most people like Christmas season just because of the Christmas music. There's a lot of different kinds out there. There's some real fun stuff. There's some very worshipful stuff. There's all kinds of different Christmas music. And as you listen to that Christmas music, it brings joy to your heart. But we don't usually think of Christmas music as victory music, do we? You know, when you win a game, you're playing games today, maybe you're one of the kids got a game, you'll be sitting there playing, and you want to be a good parent and teach them all aspects of life, including how to lose real bad. So you're teaching them this, and then you win, you don't normally sing the song Away in a Manger. It just doesn't quite fit. But Mary sings a victory song. Let's see if you catch it. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. 48. For he has regarded my lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth shall all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has lifted the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, and he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his seed forever. Did you catch the victory in there? The victory of Jesus Christ, the victory of God? We know what kind of victory that is. She sees the victory of physical victory. Remember, Rome is the one that's over top of that's got their thumb over Israel. And so she recognizes that this being God's Son is the Messiah. And this Messiah, he's the one that would deliver. And she rejoices in God's mercy in order to realize what he has done. He has been merciful in that despite inability and the undeservedness of Israel and of all mankind, God has brought victory. And so God, indeed, we need to rejoice in his mercy. We ourselves rejoice in God's mercy. The mercy that he's showed upon us by sending his one and only Son. For though we don't deserve heaven, though we could never earn heaven, Jesus Christ was sent to pay that penalty so you and I can go to heaven if we're willing to put our faith in him. I hope that you recognize this so that way this time of year you also have that rejoicing. Well, we see the jumping for joy and we see a song of victory. We also see that in the rejoicing of God's presence and the rejoicing of God's mercy. But we find another kind of rejoicing. We could certainly jump for joy and we can write or sing songs of victory, but this next one's going to be a little hard for you to do. It's found in the next chapter starting in verse 8. In verse 8 we find, now that we're in the same country, shepherds living in the fields, watching over their sheep by night. It's dark out. It's probably real peaceful out there in the field, and they can see just the millions of stars. How far away was Bethlehem? It was fairly close, but could they hear the sounds of what was going on in town? What time of night was it? And then all the sun is brighter than daylight. And we find angels in verse 10 who said, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You might have that translation. The newer translations, having looked at the Greek, see that it's worded slightly different, reading "among men on whom God is pleased" or "has God's favor." Regardless, though, we see that God is getting the glory. God is getting absolute glory. This is a heavenly chorus, a whole choir that sings God's glory. And the reason they're rejoicing is for the birth of Jesus. Now, that doesn't seem like much. We rejoice when babies are born, don't we? We're excited when we have kids. We're excited when somebody else has kids. We're more excited when we have grandkids because you could buy them noisy toys and send them home. We're excited when we see that somebody is being born. But here, we have something fantastic, even though we think when our kids were born, the heavens opened, all the angels sang. It actually really did happen for Jesus as they announced who this Jesus is. He said unto them that Jesus would be born. Jesus. Jesus who is the Savior. We need to recognize who Jesus is. And recognize that we need to rejoice in the fact that He has come here. Well, we see here that John the Baptist, he jumps for joy. Mary, she sings a song of deliverance. We see the angels give glory to God. We also see a little bit further there in verse 15, the broadcasting of God's greatness. The broadcasting of God's greatness. It was when the angels had gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem, see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And then they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. What was that saying? The saying, it's a good tiding of great joy for all people. That is, and the sign of it would be to see the baby. And that baby is Christ the Lord. They needed to see that, and they did see it. And so what did they do? Well, in verse 17 it says, when they'd seen him, they made widely known. They broadcast it, saying that which was told them concerning this child. They recognized who this child was, and then what did they do? They told everybody. Boy, what a great time to tell people about Christ this Christmas. Everybody thinks it's about Santa Claus and presents and family and all this stuff. It's about Jesus. It's a celebration of His birthday. And so, what great opportunities you've taken, perhaps already, in sharing this. They rejoiced in God's ways. They talked about the whole thing that happened. How that God shared with them by way of angels while they were out in the field. You know, God's ways are mysterious. He chose to do this way. He also chose to pick up shepherds. He didn't choose the people that were, you know, the kings and the leaders in the community. He didn't pick the people that were the shrewd businessmen. He picked out shepherds. In that day, shepherds, it's kind of like today. We think of a successful person as a person who sits in a desk, in an office, high above the ground, making executive decisions. We never really think about the farmer out in the field. We don't usually think about them any time. Except when prices go up and say, well, and then we try to blame the farmers for what the middleman's doing or some such thing. In all of that, we see the glory of God as His ways. He chose to choose just the shepherd to get that fantastic announcement of that child's birth. You might be here and you think to yourself, I'm nobody special. Why would God care about me? Well, if you saw yourself as one of those shepherds, you know that God indeed cares about you. We see the rejoicing. We've seen rejoicing in many different ways. I hope that you've seen that. We're giving glory to God in the highest by physical jumping, by a song, and then a whole chorus. And then you have here the broadcasting or telling of others of God's greatness. What about the prayer of a saint? The prayer of a saint is also a great way to praise God. You go a little further there in chapter 2, and starting in verse 25, you see it's a story about a man named Simeon. And Simeon, he was a devout man, a man that loved God and served Him well. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw God's deliverer. We find in verse 27 that the Spirit led him to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do to him according to the custom of the law, in other words, 8 days later, he'd be circumcised and there'd be sacrifices given, Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, isn't that how you started out your prayers? Heavenly Father or Lord or Father? Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Now what would you say if somebody said that to you or to your child? You heard that. That'd be incredible. You're like, what in the world? This guy's a little loony or something. He recognized who Jesus was. This was, he says, the salvation. This is God's way of saving the people that he would save. Not just Israel, but he says a light to the Gentiles too. We can rejoice in God's great Savior. Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life. He could, because he was both God and man. And being God, he could live without sin. We all sin. We all do things we shouldn't. Some of us more than others. What we do is we do bad things. We do things that don't please God, don't honor God. And Jesus did not do anything that disobeyed or dishonored God. In fact, he is God. And then he died to take the penalty that you and I deserve for our sin and came back to life. And if we put our trust in him alone, we can go to heaven. We come to that point in our lives where we recognize that, look, I've done wrong. And I need Jesus. I need God's forgiveness. And I put my faith in him. That is when he becomes your Savior too. Rejoice in God's great Savior. So, well, I hope that you're seeing so far that you can practice praising God, giving glory to God, just like these others have. In physical jumping in praise, in a song, or a whole choir of people in song, in telling others and broadcasting that truth, and also in prayer, finally, a testimony of the faithful. We find, lastly here, a woman, a lady who is about 84 years old. Just a youngin', right? She'd been married and lived with her husband, of course, for 7 years before he apparently passed away at that time. And she had devoted herself, been very faithful to God. It says here, in verse 37, this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God fasting and prayers night and day. You talk about your religious nuts. This lady, she wouldn't even leave the church. She was always there. Maybe you've been called a religious nut because you've told somebody about Jesus. And they think you're just out of your mind. You're too religious. You're cramming it down their throat. You're not cramming it down their throat. At least I hope you're not. You're excited for what God has done for you. You're rejoicing. This lady was faithful. Every time the doors are open, she's there. She's praying and fasting. If she had the 66 books, she'd been reading the Bible constantly. She only had the Old Testament at that time. And so what? Can we learn from that? Well, she's a devoted person. How devoted are we? How faithful are we to spend time in God's Word and in prayer? We can learn a lot from this gal Anna. But we find that she was very faithful. And verse 38 says, "And coming in at that instant," when Simeon there and talking to God and then addresses Mary and Joseph, she came in and then she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Jesus to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. Those who were looking for deliverance. She, like most of the Old Testament saints in the very early church, was looking to be delivered. Jesus delivers. He delivers mainly of sin. But he can deliver from trials and temptations. You know, you might be facing trials and temptations in your life. Are you going to God for deliverance in those things? I want you to see this morning something fantastic. I want you to see that as those angels were there looking down on the shepherds and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," that you are that messenger. The word angel is also translated as messenger. That's why when you go to the early chapters of the book of Revelation, there's question, is it to the angel of the church or the messenger of the church? An angel is a messenger of God. In the same way, you too. Doesn't Paul say we are ambassadors of Christ? You are the one who needs to give God the glory. Do you need something to give glory about? Well, we can see six different ways that people gave glory to God and six different people for the same thing with different aspects of it. Think of all the things that you have, the life that you have, the family that you have. Think about the home that you have. Think about the fact that you have Christmas twigs standing there in your room, in your living room. I like the tree that, my favorite tree is a Charlie Brown tree, that little thing with a tuft hanging over like that. Whatever it is that you have, if you readily consider that is by God's grace and hand that you're given those, do you have the job that you have? Do you have the wonderful wife or husband that you have? The family and friends that you have? The parents and the children and the grandchildren? Do you realize what God has given to you? Do you realize the joy that you can have? Life can get you down. But when you've got the best news in the world, does it really matter? Be like those angels and give glory to God as you faithfully serve Him, as you serve Him as a messenger for all He is and that He will do. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us, that we might be like these ones who are so gracious, who are so excited about your Son, Jesus Christ. It comes around Christmas time, and what do? We get all excited, feel tremendous about Christmas tree and the presents and the family and the food and the whole nine yards, but help us, Father, that our rejoicing this whole day and even through our life would be such that we are rejoicing in your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that each one here would know you as their Savior if they do not already. And then if they do, they will be faithful in rejoicing in who you are and what you've done. I pray this in Jesus' name.